Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begetteth thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your abundant blessings, and we just praise your holy name that you are the God who created heaven and earth, that stretched out the heavens, and who have preserved your people Israel to use as a nation of priests to bring your word down, even to us this day. We thank you for your preserved word that we might know your ways and your will for our lives. Father, just guide us by your word and lead us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 45. So God has foretold all the judgments that will be coming to Israel because they're about to go into captivity into Babylon. And he's saying, you know, because I've loved you, I've judged you for your disobedience. And he's talked about their idolatry and how foolish it is to take a tree and use part of it to burn in your fireplace, and another part you make a god and bow down and worship. You know, that's pretty futile. But now he's trying to encourage them, saying that this isn't going to be the end of Israel, though. Yes, they're going into captivity, but there's return to come. So chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Again, he names Cyrus by name. It's about 150 years before he's born, but he names him by name, and history has proved it out that it's true. Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. In other words, God is working with Cyrus because he's using him for his purposes. Now, Cyrus is an unbelieving king. He's not a God worshiper, nothing like that, but God has chosen him to accomplish his purposes. Okay, so God can accomplish his purposes even in evil rulers. So I'm convinced that what Putin is doing, God will use for his purposes. Okay, not that Putin is anything of a godly man. He's not. He's an evil man. He's committing evil. But God has already used it to bring some unity and resolve to Europe, to stand up to him and some other things. He will use it in particular for his people Israel. Here he tells Cyrus, he said, I've held your hand. Okay, Cyrus has conquered everything. Okay, he comes from Persia and takes over Babylon. Babylon was the ruling kingdom. They were conquering everything. Okay, and they conquered Assyria and they conquered this. And you remember from Daniel when Cyrus comes in and conquers Babylon. Considered inconquerable. I mean, those walls were so thick, they said you could have a chariot race of three chariots around the walls. They were so thick and impenetrable. But God said that he would open before him the two leaved gates. Well, according to Herodotus, the gates of Babylon were unlocked when Cyrus invaded. He walked right in. He conquered so quickly that there was no long siege or something like that. He was marching to the palace, taking prisoners all the way. Just marched right in. Just took them over overnight. He took over when he came and said, the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. He's going to give him an easy path. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Okay? Well, in the last chapter, he kept saying, you know, you're going to worship these idols. Show me what they've done. What prophecies? Go back and point out prophecies that your gods have made that have come true. And he said, I'm not afraid to call Cyrus by name. He calls him by name before he's ever born. And this is completely fulfilled. We have it as historical documentation. He said, that's the test of a true God. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Okay, he's not a believer. You haven't even known me, but he said, I gave you your first name. I've already told that ahead of time. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Okay. God's big point is, Idolatry he doesn't tolerate. He said, I'm it. I'm the only God. There are no other gods. We keep saying, well, we keep trying to conflate all these other gods along with the God of the Bible. You know, the Muslims, I've heard Muslim experts speak and say things like, well, Allah is just another name for God, and he's really the same as the God of the Bible. They're lying and they know it. They mean the God of the Bible as they interpret it, and they think the Bible is all wrong and they have to correct it. By the time they get through with it, it's not the Bible anymore. Okay? It's not the same. Allah is not. Now, they'll say they believe him as the creator of heaven and earth, yes, but it also says that Allah has no son. The Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't resolve that. It's not the same. It's another God. God will not tolerate that. So even if we have a pope that thinks he can pull everything together, he has big gatherings, and he will have Muslim imams there. He will have Native American witch doctors. He will have Indian shaman. He will have Buddhist priest. He will have all this. Put it all together and say, well, it's all the same. It all fits into his one world religion. But it doesn't fit into God. It's not the same God. There's no way. And we're going to say, well, you're just so intolerant. You know, why can't you accept other people's gods to be as good as your God? Well, you know, there's only one God. And I'll give it to a line that comes from the movie. I guess it was the Avengers or whatever. Captain America says he meets Thor and Loki and this and that. And they tell him, don't mess with them. They're basically gods. And his answer is, ma'am, there's only one God, and I don't think he dresses like that. Okay, he still has 40s values, you know. Talk about God. But there's only one God. And he can't be contradictory. And world religions are contradictory. What the Hindus believe doesn't fit with what the Muslims believe. And what the Muslims believe doesn't fit with what the Mormons believe. What the Mormons believe doesn't fit with what true Christians believe. What the Pope believes doesn't fit with what true Christians believe. I'm not saying all Catholics are lost, but I guarantee you the Pope is. There's just no question about it, because the doctrine he teaches is not biblical doctrine. And there's so much corruption and everything through the line of popes that it's just, there's no question that the Catholic Church as an organization is corrupt and ungodly. Okay, so God can't deny himself. He's only one way. Says there's no shadow of turning. He never changes. So he can't be the God of the Muslims one day and the God of the Hindus the next day and the God of the Christians the rest of the time. There is one God, and he will not tolerate any other. Doesn't he keep saying that? There are no other gods before me. He said, I looked into the past, and there was nobody here when I got here. Well, he's always been here, so that pretty much eliminates any other God in the past. He said, I've looked into the future. We know he sees all the... There's no God over there. It's just me. He's the one that created everything. And so he brings judgment when they start worshiping other gods. He said, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. So he's taking care of people, even when they don't know him. That thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You think he's trying to make a point? What Israel ultimately always gets judged for is worshiping other gods. Just read through the book of Judges. What happens? Every time they get carried away or attacked by all these other nations, it's because they started worshiping other gods. They started worshiping idols. Every time. And so he brings Israel basically to this ultimate judgment of being carried away into Babylon. That's what it took to break them of their idolatry. That finally broke them away from it. And that's where you get, they're carried in. That's where you get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not worship the golden idol under penalty of being thrown in the fiery furnace. And they take a stand. And they don't. God is turning his people back to himself. He's like, there is none other. We can't go for all this ecumenicalism. We can't go for all this, well, as you know, all roads lead to God. You know, it's just a mountain and we're all coming up different sides of the mountain. That's not the way it works. Jesus Christ said, There's a narrow path and a broad way. So there's a narrow path, and few there be that find it. But there's a broad way that's easy. And it's not a hill all leading to the same place. There's only one narrow path leading to the true God, and everything else is a false way. There is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. And God claims everything. Claims it all. And we know he formed the light, right? In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, so when he created everything, he created the earth and space and this and that, but there was no light. Then he said, let there be light. And there was light. And the evening and the morning was the first day. He created the light. Okay. Now, people that say, well, this all goes with theistic evolution and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, guess what? He created light before he created the sun. That doesn't fit with evolution at all, does it? Okay, the sun is supposed to have formed and then all the planets around it and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't fit. It's God's way or the world's way. Okay? He created light, but he also created darkness. Okay? When you create light, you create darkness. Because it's where the absence of light is. I make peace and create evil. Now that's hard to take. God creates evil? Well, James tells us that when we're tempted to evil, it's not God doing it. So how can he create evil? Well, what seems evil to us sometimes, death and all that, you know, God's the one who cursed the earth. It was because of Adam's sin, but he didn't do it. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's all his. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. You know, we need to quit questioning God. Yeah. We should always seek to know God. But we should quit arguing with him. Because he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. We just need to trust him. It may not seem right in our eyes. I know there's a lot of people that they run into difficult situations, you know, something terrible comes into their life, and they question, is there really a good God? Why would God let this happen or whatever? We need to just quit arguing with him and seek his face. And he says, it's as dumb to argue with God as it would be for a pot to argue with a potter. Okay? We're not even in the same class. Okay, this pot, I can just see some pot, and it's thinking, you know, I didn't really want to be a trash can. I always wanted to be a beautiful pitcher. Why, God, did you make me a trash can? You know, why, Potter, did you make me a trash can? People that, you know, I remember my grandfather always by his desk back there, he always had a spittoon. And this brass spittoon back there, I always thought it was cool, this brass spittoon back there, but they can get pretty nasty. Okay, had this spittoon back there and whatever. It's like, you know, I don't want to be a spittoon. It's like, well, that's what I made you. That's what I needed. That's a purpose. I'm sure my grandmother liked him spitting in the spittoon better than spitting on the floor. You know, which is better than when I was in college, all the rednecks, you know, they liked to spit in the Coke bottles. I liked it better when they used the Coke cans. But, you know, they would spit in Coke bottles. I mean, you go to the back of the classroom to clean up afterwards, you get all these glass Coke bottles full of it's like that was kind of gross. But the pot doesn't get to argue with the potter, does it? You're just a pot. Now, if you can make a pot, you can make it anything you want, can't you? But we can't make a man. So God made us the way he intended us to be. And nowadays, we're arguing with God about the way he made us. We're going to say, well, God has, you know, God put me in a man's body, but I'm really a woman. That's pretty dumb. It's like, if you just admitted it, you're in a man's body. So guess what? You're a man. Now, at least admit what you're saying. At least you're saying, well, I just want to act like a girl. God has something to say about that too. But he talks about a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing and all this kind of things. He makes that pretty clear. But the thing is, you're born a man, you're a man. You're born a woman, you're a woman. It's that clear. It's in every cell of your body. It's everywhere. But now we're deciding that we don't agree with that. God just messed up and made us wrong. So we've got to go fix it. And we do have surgeries and things like that, but it's so farcical. You're not really changing it. You may go so far as do bodily mutilation. You may do hormone therapy and things like that. But you know, it's pretty crude. You're not really turning a man into a woman. Right? Now we have to say we can't, not even saying pregnant women. You know, they're changing now because the abortion thing they've pushed. Well, you know, we've got to defend a woman's right. You know, women's right. Now we have to call them pregnant people. Because they claim that men can be pregnant because they're claiming that women are men. And it's ridiculous. It's like, if you're having a baby, you're a woman. Let me just make it simple. You know, that's it. So we're arguing with God. We're saying, God, you messed up. You did things wrong. The homosexual agenda, which all this transgender stuff is just a growth out of that. You're saying, well, God created me with all, you know, he made me this way. It's like, no, there's sin and corruption in your life that may have led you this way. But God didn't make us to be sinners. We've made ourselves sinners. So he's saying to argue with him about how he made us, because the thing is, you didn't choose your parents, did you? You didn't choose the day of your birth, did you? That's beyond us. You say, well, I really wanted to be born. I mean, I'm sure there's not too many people now saying, well, I really want to be born in the slums of India as a lower class, whatever, you know. No. You know, some people now even say, well, they think they're really animals. You know, it's like, it's just total rebellion against the created order. And he said, you know, that's like a pot arguing with the potter. You messed up. You made me an ashtray instead of a pitcher. I should have been a pitcher. It's like, well, sorry. But an ashtray wouldn't make a very good pitcher, would it? It's not what it's made for. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Are you going to argue with your parents saying, you know, well, you messed up. You had me at the wrong time. I really wanted my birthday to be in the winter instead of in the summer. Or I really, you know, wanted to be born to somebody else. Or that's stupid. That's beyond our control. We don't get to choose who our parents are. We don't get to choose our physical characteristics. We don't get to choose where we're born. Anything like that, that's beyond us. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. He said, I'm the one that created Israel. He called them out as a nation. He created them, and he has his purposes for them. He said, ask me. I can tell you what's going to happen to Israel because I'm in control. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Seems like God's trying to make a point, isn't he? I'm the creator of earth and the creator of man. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Well, I don't think anybody else can claim to have done that, can you? Stretch out the heavens? We can't even explore but the tiniest part of them, even see but a tiny part of them. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, I'm telling the future, and I'm telling you, Cyrus, and he's going to do my bidding. He's going to do my purposes and my will, and I'm going to direct his ways, and he is going to build my city. Well, what's his city? Jerusalem. What does Cyrus do? He commands them to build the temple. Okay? And he'll let go my captives, but not for reward, not because I've paid him a bunch of money. He's going to do it because I said so, the Lord of hosts. He's going to accomplish it. And God's going to deal with Jerusalem now. Jerusalem is still very controversial. The United Nations this week passed a new resolution that was mostly led by the Arab countries, and it has relabeled Jerusalem totally in Arabic terms. It's using the Arabic names. It's saying it's the home of the Arabic religion. It's the home of their mosque and their holy place. No indication whatsoever of the Jewish heritage. Matter of fact, some of the Arab nations are saying, well, there is no, one of the Arab leaders said, there is no Jewish heritage. There was never a temple. There was never any Jewish there. It's only an Arab site, which is ridiculous. The temple was there thousands of years before the Arabs ever made any claim to it whatsoever. He's just lying. He's just totally trying to deny it. But it's like God's in control of it. If God can make Cyrus come build it, he can take care of it now. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God or no other God. Verily, thou art a God. Thou hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, and all of them they shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. God is going to preserve his nation, Israel, until the very end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. I think God thinks that's important, that we recognize him as the creator. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I think we should be worried about, you know, we're so caught up in all this climate change stuff. And people think that, oh, we're just going to totally incinerate ourselves and destroy the human race. And that's basically the purpose of the space program these days, is they're trying to get so that we can go and populate another planet. And, you know, so when we destroy Earth, we'll have someplace else to go. You know, it's just ridiculous. And but they believe all that. We should be a lot more afraid of God. God's the one that established this Earth. And he established to be inhabited, and it will be inhabited for as long as he lets it preserve. But there's going to come a day he's going to destroy it by fire. And it's not climate change that's going to do it. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I am the Lord. Speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God said, I've told you how to find me. It's right here in my word. Seek me and you shall find me. It's there. Knock and it shall be opened. Okay. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. So forget the idols. They're nothing. God has given us plenty of proof by all his prophecies. He's told us ahead of time. It's always come true. He said, trust in me. And not only is he the mighty God, which that's what you would really expect, because notice how here on this earth, What is it about people that have a lot of power? Well, look at Putin. He's using his wealth. They say Putin is worth $40 billion. That's pretty good pay for a civil servant. He's not a civil servant. He's a dictator. But He's not only God. So you say, well, there could be a God, and God could be cruel and mean and whatever. Well, but he's not only God, the Almighty. He's God the Savior. He's a loving God. He's also our salvation. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. People get so upset when we say that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. They get really angry. They call us names. They say that we're bigoted and closed-minded and whatever. Yeah, but the good news is he is the only God, and Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. But guess what? It's the way of salvation. So why mess with the other gods that can't save? Allah doesn't promise salvation to anybody. He promises to come back and take over the world. And if you happen to please him enough and do enough good things and kill enough infidels and whatever, you might get your reward in heaven with your 70 virgins and your feast and whatever else, but you might not, because he might be having a bad day. You never know. There's no salvation in that. There's certainly no salvation in Hinduism and all the Eastern religions. The best they can ever hope for is you can go out of existence. And that's our atheists in our world today that we have so much of in the Western world. They're counting on the fact that when you die, that's it. You go out of existence. That's the best they can hope for, because it gives them an excuse to live any way they want now, because there is no judgment afterwards, but then afterwards it's just over. That's no hope. I mean, you're born, you live, you get old, you die. What hope is there in that? But the God of the Bible, narrow-minded as it is, he's the Savior. It's the only hope. I have sworn by myself. Well, that's a pretty good oath. If God swears by himself, that's the highest oath possible. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. He said, my word will always come true. Always. Guess what? It always has in the past. It's a pretty good indication that it will be in the future. Okay. Have you ever listened to anything that has to do with, you know, stock market investing or anything like that? The disclaimer like they do in the ads on TV, you know, with all the medicines, they tell you all the bad side effects. And if you listen to the side effects, you probably don't want to take the medicine. But at the end of a stock type thing, if it's some kind of a stockbroker, they nearly always say that past performance is not an indication of future performance. In other words, I may have this fund, and what you do is you look at it. If you can invest in some fund, it gives you, you can look up their past performance. It's like, well, this fund made 12% last year. That sounds pretty good. I think I'll invest in that one. Past performance is not an indication of future performance. They made 12% last year, doesn't mean they're making 12% this year. Okay? But they didn't tell us they were going to make 12% last year. God tells us from the beginning, this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to have a king, and his name's going to be Cyrus, and he's going to rebuild my city. 150 years later, it comes true. I think I'm invested in that one. He told us ahead of time before it happened. Looking back at the past just proves that it happened. But when God tells you it's going to happen, then we can look back and it did happen, then you better listen to him next time he tells you what's going to happen. The same God that said that I'm going to raise up Cyrus to rebuild my city said that I'm going to come in judgment. That Jesus Christ will return. And he's going to come back to take his church to be with him and to bring judgment upon this earth. I'd believe it. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. And before he said, you know, trust me, don't fight me. It's like a pot trying to argue with the potter. It's like, if you're on the side against God, you're going to regret it. You're going to be ashamed, embarrassed, regret. It's true. I mean, there's a lot of intelligent, not wise, but intelligent men out there that are speaking against God. saying they don't believe in him and this and that. Well, he said, tells you right up front, says, if you're against him, you're going to be ashamed. It's not going to work out. So Isaiah moves on. He's giving hope to the nation of Israel. Remember, they're about to face 70 years of captivity in Babylon. But he said, don't worry. I'm going to end it. I'm going to send Cyrus to rebuild this city. It's going to be back. The time's going to come. We look out now, and I'm not sure what's going to happen in our world and when. All this with Ukraine shows you how quickly things can change. Putin makes one move, and we had basically a year's worth of inflation in one day. Things went up 7 to 10% in a day. Look at the gas prices. Very quickly takes off. And we don't have any control over it, do we? Not much we can do. So, but I do know this. I mean, things can go on for years and years. Things could start to end immediately. But I do know that the same God who created the heaven and the earth, promised to be the Savior, promised to send Jesus Christ to redeem man, raised him from the dead, took him back to heaven, and promised that he was going to return, and return for his own. So what we can do is get ready. Be like the five wise virgins. Have your lamp filled with oil. Be saved. Have the Holy Spirit in your life. Be obedient to God and be ready and waiting for him to return so that when he does, we're ready to go with him. We're prepared and go. Because it's not something you can do after the fact. Be ready now for when he does come. That's what we can do. All right. We're going to close prayer, and then we're going to switch and have our Lord's Supper. So let's close in prayer, and then we'll remain for that. Father, we do thank you for your abundant blessings. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are the one true God, the Almighty. You're the Creator and the Judge. But we thank you that you've told us that you're also the Savior. And Father, we so want to be in you. There's no excuse for us not to be. And you've made it available. You've already paid the price. We just need to come to you and accept. Come and ask for your salvation, your forgiveness, and you will hear us. I just pray that you'd bless us as we get ready for our Lord's Supper to remember what our Lord Jesus Christ did to secure that salvation. That he came and he died on the cross and he gave his blood and his body to be the price for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.